The World Wildlife Fund lists the African savanna elephant as the world's largest land animal. But a new documentary from Werner Herzog asks whether there's a bigger type of elephant out there. Although in classic Herzog style, it also asks and implies questions about that very question. The film was called Ghost Elephants, and it records a journey by conservation biologist Steve Boyes as part of his search for a mysterious, elusive herd of ghost elephants in the highlands of Angola. And Steve Boyes joins us now on ABC Radio National. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Julian.
Steve, what's a ghost elephant?
It's an elephant that you look for a very long time and just don't see or hear. I mean, it took us 7 years with 180 camera traps, the trail cams, motion sensing, heat sensing, hundreds of acoustic sensors listening for them. It took us 7 years to get the first photograph, and that was glowing eyes in the darkness.
Amazing. So could you tell us where exactly it is that you're looking for these ghost elephants? Because it is a truly extraordinary part of the world.
It's probably the remotest location in Africa now today. I mean, it's the Eastern Angolan Highlands. It was historically known by the Portuguese explorers during colonial times as the Terra do Fim do Mundo, the land at the end of the earth, the farthest place from anywhere. This wilderness that Livingston, Cameron, Serpa Pinto, Silva Porto, all those explorers mapping the region, never went. We entered in 2015 for the first time. We used armored vehicles in partnership with the Halo Trust and the government. We went through two active minefields and started to document a landscape that was completely misunderstood in the academic literature, finding vast peatlands that weren't known to be there. We found over 300 new species to science now, only found there. It's just this extraordinary, extraordinary place. And when you meet the local people, the Luchazi, the Chokwe, they call it Lazima Dia Mowono, the source of life.
Yes, and the elephants are described in a way as the crown jewel of this part of the world. Where does the term ghost elephant actually come from, Steve?
That comes from the traditional leaders in the landscape. We noticed that there were elephants in the landscape, found dung, found clearings, signs that they were there in 2015, 2016. We're on fat tire mountain bikes, motorbikes, on foot, spending months looking for them. We traverse all of the major rivers in the system to look for them. The traditional leaders say, look, we can get on a motorbike, we can go down there, it'll take us a day, we'll find dung. You know? But for you to see one of these elephants, you'd have to live down there for many months. And they called them ghosts. We didn't understand that initially. And you know, this is shared in part in the film. They're deeply embedded in the mythology of the Kangala people, the Luchazi. They consider them to be in part human and connected to the ancestors, to ghosts.
When we think about where these ghost elephants are thought to live, would it be fair, Steve, to describe them as refugees?
In part, refugees. I mean, Angola, you know, lost between 50 and 100,000 elephants during the 27 years of civil war, heavily fought in eastern Angola. The rivers that we've explored, all the bridges were blown up and used to divide the country in half. So yes, they're completely isolated. This is a forest refuge that they managed to hide in. But the elephants that we've been studying, looking at their genetics, they've been there for thousands of years living in those forests. They've never left. All of the other elephants inside the southeastern Angola left or were killed. But we didn't see any new genetics come in. They've remained isolated with those people up there.
The film basically draws a parallel between the ghost elephants that you're searching for on that amazing journey and a particular elephant known as Henry. Who's Henry?
Henry. Henry is one of the most viewed museum exhibits on the planet. I mean, 250 million people have gone to see him. He is the largest elephant in history ever recorded, ever documented. He was shot by Josef Fenikovi in 1955 in Angola, near where these ghost elephants have been found. So, you know, it's this giant elephant standing in the main rotunda. It's the first thing you see when you walk into the Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C., that's Henry.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Steve Boyes, who's one of the subjects of the Werner Herzog documentary through National Geographic called ghost elephants. And Steve, Werner Herzog's one of the world's great filmmakers. In 2025, he got the Golden Lion for Lifetime Achievement at the Venice Biennale. How is it that a conservation biologist based in Africa happens to end up making a documentary about elephants with one of the world's great filmmakers?
And I was there at the Venice Film Festival. We did our world premiere there. And, you know, I knew a little bit about Werner's films, but I hadn't quite seen him. You know, they were clamoring and everyone was posters and books and the signing and we had to go in the back way. I mean, it was full on movie style. But I got to know Werner through a friend. He said, you have to come and meet Werner. We're having dinner tonight in the strangest place in the world, Beverly Hills. And we spoke the whole night about everything. The restaurant closed on us. And we did speak about the ghost elephants. Werner will say that already in that dinner, and he didn't really let it on. He knew that he had to tell this story. It was that important. But what a journey, having Werner join us on expedition and really set the tone of how we were going to approach this final search.
Yes, well, it's an epic journey in really every sense. Could you describe for us, I suppose, the physical dimensions of the journey that you undertake in the film, where it took you and how you did it?
I mean, as Werner says, and he said it many times, you would be concerned in revealing these elephants that people would go and try and find them, maybe poachers. And, you know, I think it's well demonstrated in the film how extraordinarily difficult it is to get out there. You know, it's at least a week of driving. There are no tarred roads out there, just tracks that we have made in the forest. As soon as you get to the first river crossings, you're on motorbikes, and that'll be 4 days, 10 hours a day. You're hiking in, creating remote camps, and then another remote camp, then you'll hike 40 miles a day searching for these elephants. And it'll take you months and months and months and months to start to understand them, just to sample the genetics off the dung. But it pushes you to your mental and physical limit. I've gone out 3 times since we filmed it. So I'm going out as often as I can, absolutely fascinated with those valleys, with those elephants. You don't see them, but you get to track them with the best trackers in the world and, you know, interact with them remotely that way.
As in many quest narratives, I suppose, the story's as much about those on the journey and the relationships between them as it is about the destination and what you were trying to find. You worked so closely with those extraordinary Indigenous trackers on the expedition. Could you tell us a little bit about who they are and what your relationship with them was like?
I mean, it was just about the time I'd met Werner, and Lynn, who's in the film, was sending me photographs of ghost elephants, the first ones. And that was a point of activation. Are we going to get on the ground, spend months and months and months permanently in those valleys looking for them and studying them? And that's when we started interacting with the Tsuntwasi master trackers, the last bow hunters. The best way to understand Twi, who's the main character in the film, was his ability to track.
He can read tracks in the sand as we would read a newspaper. But he reads with all his senses. He hears a bird alarmed, and this tells him a leopard might be nearby. He sniffs the air for the scent of elephants.
Gui's interaction with an elephant footprint is the same as our interaction with a human face. So he'll see it once, then you'll see it again, you'll recognize it, and then he sees it the third time, he'll give it a name. And, you know, within a week or two in any area, you will know the name and birthday of every single elephant that lives there. It's like a photographic memory, not just for elephants, but for everything. You know, he's hardly ever looking at the tracks. He's looking at every other sign, birds, trees, the way the valleys are constructed. It is, you know, to me, the master trackers are the greatest living scientists. I mean, I am a scientist. My view is very narrow through the data sets that I analyze and draw conclusions from and really make up stories from. And Tui is all visual in a auditory. Everything he's hearing, seeing, smelling, all of that data is coming in, and he's constructing a narrative that, from my experience, is correct every single time.
Steve, at the end of this epic journey, you definitely did see an elephant. How would you describe what you saw in, I suppose, scientific but also non-scientific terms?
Well, again, Kat, that is months and months in the valleys. That is the literal last day. It had been in the previous days that Elias and Antonio had got that very grainy video of the big bull that we'd been looking for. They'd been tracking him sleeping overnight for 2 days with the king's hunters, with the big bow. And I'd completely given up. Kui had looked at that video, and I think he recognized something in the trees or the way it looked, something, the way it felt, because there was a purpose about him that morning. We didn't take any cameras. We didn't take the camera crew, nothing. We just went. And Kui was usually towards the back. And this time was right in the front, very purposeful. He kind of led us straight to that big bull. I don't know how to describe how I felt then. I mean, the team was scared. They were concerned about the elephants. We didn't understand them. It was our first interaction with them. He was behaving strangely, looked strange. Kui can identify elephants from all the different areas proximate to where he lives, and he didn't recognize this one. The legs were longer. The feet were a bit smaller, as he had seen while tracking them. He was very surprised to see the size of the elephant.
How big was it?
We got opportunity to measure quite in detail the mud rubbings of these elephants up the trees. It's very difficult to tell when you don't have relative. And you can see where you sighted it and go up to that tree and start to measure. But bigger than the elephants that I've interacted with in the Okavango Delta or anywhere else in Africa. 11, 12 foot at the shoulder. Henry in the Smithsonian, 13 and a half feet at his shoulder. It's a very big elephant. We're talking about elephants that are coming close to 9 or 10 tons in size. Those are very big animals. I'd seen that kind of growth form with the longer front legs in Botswana. Maybe those were refugees, ghost elephants that had run away during the war. But we're still getting to understand them. That's the only time we've seen one in person. We had an aggregation of over 40 on my last expedition up there. We didn't see them, but we were about an hour behind them, and that's just close enough. But yes, I'd love to see them again in the coming years. They're unique.
We've been talking a lot about elephants, of course, Steve, but it's interesting that Werner Herzog describes Ghost Elephants as also a film that is an exploration of dreams, of imagination, weighed against reality. What do you think he means by that, and do you agree with him?
Well, it's the same thing I wanted people to take from the film. And you see that in the interview that's shown a lot in the beginning that I had with Werner, which was an intense experience between the two of us. Everything you see in the film is the first shot of that moment. Then he's done. He's always done within 10 minutes of arriving somewhere. He just captures that moment. And his first questions in the first interviews that aren't in the film are, what would a world be like without elephants? And you know, all of us answer that independently in different ways based on our backgrounds. And, you know, do you dream? What do you dream about? And kind of sets that tone. But what I want people to take away is that forest we were walking in was brought alive by those elephants for us. We were, you know, expecting to see an elephant around every tree. And I want people to imagine that walking in a forest anywhere in the world, that something extraordinary will walk out from behind the tree. These mythical beasts, Tasmanian tiger will walk out of the bush someday soon. And people must expect that and dream about it and bring the bush alive with it. I spend a lot of time on rivers in Africa, and there are hippos and crocodiles. I don't see them often, but I know they're there. And that river is alive with hippos and crocodiles. So yes, we must dream. Yes, we must imagine. Because it brings wild places alive. And that's amazing. That's a wonderful thing. So let's bring the world to life.
Steve, how did the journey that's recorded in Ghost Elephants and making the documentary with Werner Herzog change your perspective on the work that you've done leading National Geographic's Okavango Wilderness Project?
You know, storytelling has always been important to us. In the early years, it was about discovery and exploration, new species, understanding peatlands, mapping, describing. That needed explanation. It needed narrative. It needed characters like Curlin, ambassadors, river guardians. Working with Vanna took us to a different level, trying to speak about the universal importance of these wild landscapes, these wildernesses, to bring attention to what we're doing in Angola and the Okavango Basin and Botswana, these truly wild places, these remote wildernesses that most people on Earth will never get to go to. And Vanna helped us think about ways of making people in Australia, all over Australia, think about Angola, be fascinated by Henry and the ghost elephants, and just think about wildness, wilderness, ourselves a little bit differently.
Yes, just watching the documentary is quite the journey. I can only imagine what it was like to actually undertake it yourself. Steve, it's been great discussing these things with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thanks, Julian.
And the Werner Herzog documentary, Ghost Elephants, which shows Steve Boy's search for the mysterious, elusive herd of ghost elephants in the highlands of Angola, is out now on Disney Plus. And Steve's book, Okavango and the Source of Life, Exploring Africa's Lost Headwaters, is also out in Australia in April.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.